Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. This is a Saturday special. On my live radio show on Friday, we took calls from people who were supporting Elizabeth Warren on what her candidacy meant to them and who they might support next. Here are some of those calls. Nicole in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you for having this topic.
What would you like?
I'm calling just, you know, I'm so disappointed. I have four children, two boys and two girls that were hearing me talk about her campaign for a long time. And I've been a volunteer on her campaign, and I've been shouting out just her amazing plans and her the fact that she's a teacher and she can really explain things well to our country. And, you know, during one of the last debates when she was doing so well and my girls were in the room, and they're seven-year-old twins, and they were getting excited, and they said, "Mommy, is she the one who's going to let the kids out of the cages?" And I said, "Yes, she will." And I'm saddened that she won't be able to use her voice as the president, but seeing how she's used her words and actions in the past, I know she won't be quiet. And I told my girls yesterday she's still going to fight for the kids in the cages and all the families of America.
Mm. Who do you think you're going to vote for when your primary comes around?
You know what? I'm actually unsure. New Jersey has one of the latest primaries, unfortunately. And I think I'm going to take a moment and think about it and kind of see actually what she has to say, because I really trust and believe in her plans. And I think that she's probably right now coming up with a good one.
It could be a very different year for New Jersey, right? Usually with the primary in June, it's pretty much all decided by then. This year,
yeah,
with Biden and Bernie tracking so close, at least so far, it could be all up to us, New Jersey. So we will see,
yeah,
on June 2nd.
Yeah, but we're very disappointed. And you know what? I made calls last week to people in North Carolina on behalf of her campaign, and I spoke to a lot of people who were unsure of her electability. And I have to say, if you don't vote for her, she can't be elected, okay? So that's it. We have to vote for her. And that was the problem.
Nicole, thank you so much for your call. Kathy in Bridgeport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. I am very disappointed that she had to drop out, that she felt she had to drop out. I've been a supporter of hers from the beginning. And I think a lot of the blame goes to the way the debates were managed and the way their gotcha questions and the way the mainstream media has basically covered the race. They didn't learn anything from 2016. They still were concerned with the horse race rather than with people's policies. And I think that's what defeated her. I think there, as Nancy Pelosi pointed out yesterday, plenty of misogyny to go around and lots of it's in the Democratic Party. That's why we have Joe. That's who they wanted. That's who they're getting. They're not getting them from me, though.
How?
I'm going to vote for Elizabeth as a write-in if I have to.
Oh,
you know, in the election, I'll obviously do the right thing, but my heart is not going to change for the Connecticut primary. I'm voting for Elizabeth.
How do you feel about Sanders?
I like him, but I don't think he's electable because I think, you know, I'm partly brainwashed by the party, but I don't know how good he is at reaching across. He's great at reaching delegates. I mean, reaching voters. But how he's actually going to be able to get stuff done as president if we don't take the Senate back and hold the Congress. And I'm not sure that with him at the top of the ticket, we'll be able to do that.
On the sexism question, mm-hmm, how do you grapple yourself with the fact that relatively so few women voted for Warren, or for that matter, the other women in the race? Like, I was looking at those stats this morning, and about 55% of voters in the Democratic primary so far have been women. That's, you know, like a 10-point gap more than men. But in her home state of Massachusetts, Warren only got 24% of women's votes. In Nevada, when Amy Klobuchar was still in the race, Bernie Sanders alone got more women's votes than Warren and Klobuchar combined, and on down from there. So it's not like there was a male boss making all the calls. Women were making these choices. How do you grapple with that?
I believe that though Hillary was the most qualified, her not getting elected last year scared women. They're afraid that a woman can't win because if someone is as, I understand all the likability nonsense that you get from the press, but she was the most competent person running and she didn't get it. And so I believe that people are afraid to take that risk because it's so important to get rid of trust of Trump that people aren't willing to take a risk. That's what I think.
Kathy, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Todd in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Brian. How are you? I've been a Warren supporter since before she was even a candidate because I was very impressed with the fact that she was drawn into politics by President Obama. She wasn't seeking political office. He asked her to form the Consumer Financial Protections Bureau, I think it was called.
That's right.
I think that she, of all the candidates, although I was a big fan of Amy Klobuchar as well, was really doing this from a place of motivation to serve the country. I think she was a real patriot in the best sense of the word, that she would draw upon her unique expertise in the field of bankruptcy to bring the nation forward. So I was very disappointed to see her candidacy. I don't want to say flounder, but I guess I'll say flounder. I don't know so much if I would attribute it to misogyny. I mean, I suppose that's always an element, but I'm going to miss her. And I guess the next question is, who am I supporting? It would be. It would have to be Biden. I was never a big Biden fan, but I just think Bernie is he's extremely narcissistic, and I think he's I don't think he's really the genuine progressive deal that people think he is.
Todd, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Ellen in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Yes, good morning, Brian. I was a Warren supporter and would have voted for her for sure, but I did begin to notice that she was evading questions in a way that bothered me, and one of the questions that she evaded was the one you put, that she was asked why she lost, and she answered by saying it was sort of arranged that would happen because there were only two choices. And I think that was an evasion. And
why do you think that was an evasion?
Well, it's probably not why she lost. I mean, she didn't refer to herself at all. She didn't refer to how she ran her campaign or things that she needed to learn that she hadn't learned. It just sort of narrowed it down to two choices, or really one. And I just think that she skipped answering the question in terms of, you know, what she could do differently next time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the reason that she lost.
Well, her tell me why not, because her analysis is that, at least in that clip that, you know, that came from her news conference yesterday, she, I guess, was hoping that people wouldn't just sort themselves into a quote-unquote lane with the most left possible candidate, Sanders, or the most electable moderate, whoever they deem that to be, Biden. But there didn't seem to be a big third group of voters there who say, yeah, sort of progressive enough and maybe electable enough. Maybe that group didn't exist.
That's assuming that people were prepared to vote according to their political sway. I just don't think that that's what's going on now. I think that people are going by so much by personality, by certain things that people do and the way they do them and say them. And I think she began to slip in her presentation and how she came across.
And actually, if you look at the curve of when she peaked, when she was kind of in first place in the summer and early fall, and then when she started to go downhill in the polls, it was after one of the debates where She was asked if taxes would go up on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all. Bernie Sanders had said, yes, taxes would have to go up in order to pay for it, but the overall burden on middle-class families would be less because their health care bills would go away. And she wouldn't give an answer that was as direct as that. And you may remember this. She got hammered for that, for being, you used the word evasive in the answer we just played. She got hammered at that point for being evasive for that. And it was after that, really, that her poll numbers started to go down. And maybe there was less room for a woman to be political when she was a politician than for a man or for many other reasons. But that did seem to be a turning point.
Yes, I would agree with you that had a man been that evasive, it might have gone unnoticed, or it might have gone less made a fuss over than it was because she's a woman. You know, we should begin to look at whether or not male candidates have to have certain characteristics and female candidates have to have certain characteristics. I would like to say who I'm going to vote for,
please,
which is that I'm not sure yet, but I don't think it's going to be Biden. I just don't like how he's behaving. I worry. I'm not sure he's altogether there, and certainly the mistakes that he's making are very similar to the kinds of mistakes that Trump makes when he's in front of the public and speaking off the cuff.
So what would, having just said that, do you have any reservations about voting for Sanders?
I do, in that I don't feel I know him well enough in terms of how he would be as a president. I don't know whether he would suddenly become single-minded and everything would have to be seen through the lens of socialism, or whether he'd go in there and say, you know, I've been with Congress all these years. I know how to deal with situations. I'm going to tackle the problems that this country faces.
But if it was between Bernie and Biden and you had a vote today?
I would vote for Bernie.
Ellen, thank you so much for your call. John in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. I'm a daily listener. Love your show.
So glad. Thank you. So what do you think? You were a Warren supporter, I take it. What really drew you to Elizabeth Warren for president?
I think what drew me to her was, you know, for better or for worse, I've always been a voter who is attracted to a plan. I've always liked candidates who were detailed. I recognize that doesn't always get you a lot of votes, but she was my kind of candidate in that way. And I wasn't sold on her until the last few weeks. In similar ways, I was actually torn between her and Bloomberg. But ultimately, I thought that she was the better candidate, the right candidate would make the better president. I was going to vote for her. But the thing that I called to really talk about was the idea that what her dropping out showed me was a large number of my peer group, a large number of people in my peer group really were distraught over her dropping out. And it made me realize how many people I knew were planning on voting for her. And it made me all the more frustrated at the fact that New York doesn't get to participate really in the primary process until so late in the game that it doesn't really matter anymore.
Although this year, as we mentioned before, it might be different because of Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, who are roughly tied right now, continue to track each other, then by the time we get to the New York primary on April 28th, or maybe even the New Jersey primary on June 2nd, they may be determinative.
Well, that's very true. And maybe I shouldn't say it doesn't really matter anymore, but if we had gone earlier in the process, and if my little unscientific poll among my peer group was in any way indicative of the larger whole, Warren might have had a great showing in New York, and the whole thing might have been different.
And actually, California moved up to be part of Super Tuesday for the first time this year. And as you probably know, since it sounds like if you're a daily listener, then you follow politics. And, you know, there's been so much frustration with the 90% white states of Iowa and New Hampshire having so much clout by going first and second that there's going to be more pressure after this year than I think there's ever been before to do some kind of rotation.
Certainly.
Where it's not up to every state to just decide how they're going to jockey for position, but that maybe there'll be something more systematic that gives, you know, everybody around the country some kind of fair shot to have.
And I'm something of an election and civics nerd, and I recognize that having a few states go first really benefits smaller candidates, allows them to focus their spending. Mm-hmm. But too many of us are really just being shut out of this process.
And for people who are confused hearing you say that you were for Elizabeth Warren or for Mike Bloomberg, that crosses lanes. It sounds like you defined your own lane, and that was people who have plans.
People who have plans, people who are competent leaders. For all the frustrations I have with the Trump administration's biggest one is simply the fact that he's incompetent. The response to coronavirus has been emblematic of that. Him saying falsehoods in press conferences and then being immediately contradicted
and
by
other things when,
and others.
Yeah, and other things when it comes to real policy are so kind of
elections.
Haphazard. And I'm going to leave it there and move on. Please call us again. Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. And Lena in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a big fan.
Glad you're on.
So I'm a student at Barnard, and I'm graduating in May, and I've actually been volunteering for Elizabeth since July. And, I feel heartbroken. I feel like my dreams just got a little smaller as a young woman entering the world. I actually got to work her selfie line at the Washington Square Park rally when she was really peaking in the polls in Iowa. And I remember just being so certain that she would be president. And I'm not sure what happened. I wish more people had loved her like I do.
I wonder if you, like a lot of the callers I think we've been hearing, are not quite ready to move on and say, okay, so I'm going to support Biden or I'm going to support Sanders, and you need to kind of grieve for a little while first and sort yourself out. Are you in that position?
I think so. And I think a lot of my friends and fellow Warren supporters are as well. Though I'm actually from California and I'm moving back there when I graduate. And so I got to vote for her absentee in the California primary. Which was wonderful. And I think I am leaning towards Bernie. I supported him in 2016, and I really do like him, although as someone that's been on political Twitter, I've definitely experienced being called a snake and some of the sort of harassment that has been directed at Warren supporters. And so it sort of leaves a sour taste in my mouth, but I still think that, I want someone that's a progressive.
I was looking at the polls, and for people who listed second choice, some of the polls ask, who are you for and who's your second choice? People who are first choice for Warren split surprisingly close in their second choices between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Does that surprise you?
I think that it doesn't surprise me. I think Elizabeth Warren really did have her own lane. I think that people liked her for a lot of different reasons. I think that the fact that she was a Republican at some point and that she came to her convictions, through her work studying bankruptcy, and the fact that she just had policies that were so detailed about so many different things, I think that she really did have her own lane, and I'm not surprised that her support is going lots of different places.
And Lena, you get the last word today. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, we want to invite you in on the conversation, too. If you've got a question about a national news item, whether it's something you want to know about the election or the Trump administration or anything else you think might fall under the national politics umbrella, give us a call and leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and your question. We'll collect those and keep them in our pocket for when I'm speaking with someone who can give you a good answer. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255, 844-745-TALK. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.